Blog Talk Radio.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter.
Good.
Yo.
Hello. What's going on?
Welcome, Mick, to another edition of Mick and Lou Talk for the next
year. Yes, sir.
unquestionably unintelligible report. I'm glad he could make it. I thought maybe Erica might be joining us. You're able to sneak away from work?
Yeah, well, as long as my phone doesn't ring, I'm good.
Okay. And 614, you're on the air. Is that Christy?
Yeah, it's me.
What's good? We're here.
You follow who I'm.
It's a tornado stuff. I'm in under a tornado warning.
Are you under a tornado warning?
Mm-hmm. And I'm high as hell, I'm sorry.
That's why you're early to the show, because you're forced to be at home on the tornado watch.
Hey, Louie, Erica thinks we don't want her on the show.
Oh, no, we absolutely do. As a matter of fact, you can get off. It'll be, and I'll put my wife on and you guys can talk.
He just told me I could hang up and have you call.
Absolutely. Could be the woman's perspective.
I know. We should get a woman's perspective, besides Christy. We could have two angry black women on the show.
Yeah, and an angry Dominican lady.
I'm not angry. I'm feeling pretty pleasant right now.
You're lit. Nice.
Not lit yet.
What Mike and I were talking about earlier was to bring the subject, of course, of the inauguration that happened on Friday, just surreal. But beyond that was there was a bunch of protesters out there, I think, fighting the good fight. But it's very pervasive. A lot of people say are the opinion, what are they going to accomplish, what are their goals, or their ultimate goal, And then there's the, you know, so if people are talking crap about those guys, there's also, you know, surely people talking crap about people smashing Starbucks windows and things, you know, like that. So more specifically, does violence in a protest take away from the kind of general theme of it or, you know, effectiveness of it? And then you had day, you know, like a billion people marching across the world. You know, how effective is that really in the larger picture? I'm of the opinion, which probably is not very common, but I think violence sometimes does has its place, particularly like in the 60s when something was so abhorrent, you know, people were getting murdered for the color of their skin, like, you know, violence, you know, and a lot of that, those regards had to be met with violence, you know. So, you know, I think there is a time and place for it. You smashing the Starbucks window? I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I'm not completely convinced.
Out of all the things they could have done, that was minor to me. Like, it's like, oh, I'm mad at the parking meter. I'm gonna smash it and get all the quarters type shit. It's like really.
At least that you can.
You know, you could.
You can. You can get some money out of that.
No,
I
it's
mean,
like you can channel your violence somewhere else, maybe a police car or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it takes away to some extent because, you know, that just makes you look lower
crazy.
Than, yeah, it just doesn't, now, having said that, you know, and there's also different types of violence. Like, for example, that guy, that dickhead who got sucker punched. While it was, you know, kind of funny to watch, that's also uncalled for.
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You can't just walk up and sucker punch somebody while they're on TV.
World star!
I didn't, no, hold that. Fill me in. I didn't hear about this. What was it?
One of those alt-right guys, and I'm blanking on the name, so forgive me, but he was being interviewed by somebody, like, during the...
It was the guy who did the Heil Trump.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but it was the guy who did the Heil Trump, according to my lovely fiance. And he was on TV getting interviewed, like, during the inauguration protest, and literally just, like, someone just walks up to him and punches him in the face.
Can I speak about the inauguration? It was, like, literally and figuratively night and day from the Obama administration's inauguration. You know what I'm saying?
Fucking surreal.
The whitest thing I ever, it was crazy. And, I mean, and I just was sitting back and I was just watching this and it just felt like an episode of like the Black Mirror or some shit. You know, like, is this real?
For real. That's true. That's for real right there. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, there's just the way he talks, you know, in his inauguration speech, which should be, you know, a blast off, you know, like, boom, you know, this is going to set the tone for who I am. Even that was just, you know, it wasn't inspiring. Even if you're all to the right, you know, if you're in a crazy ultra right, I don't even really think that was like, you know, it was just kind of like, I don't know, like just like just pandering to the lowest common denominator there.
Yeah.
And it's,
it was,
you know,
such
it's
a
words.
It's supposed to be an uplifting speech, but it was a pretty dark speech, I think. You know,
yeah, not only that, but it basically sounded like he was still running for office. Like, he was still doom and gloom, and we need to turn things around. And yeah, exactly. It's just like, all right, dude, you won. Like, you can try to, like, turn the corner now.
Yeah, it's like he got some proof. And that just reflects in the first press conference where they're like, no, this by far, this is the biggest a turnout of inauguration. When you just see the proof in the pictures, you know what I mean? Like, oh, using these white things to cover the lawn now, but that doesn't matter because that would be covered by, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, like, you know, in 2009 when you see it, shit's completely packed. I mean, there's no question about it. And to have the spokesman on the first day tell a bold-faced fucking lie and say no without question, like, just like, it's insane. It's just telling
don't you.
No,
it's not a lie. It's an alternative fact.
Yeah, the alternative fact. The alternative facts are.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
But let me ask you a question. So as far as this whole issue with the crowds, I have two theories and all two scenarios, and I don't know which one is scarier. Number one, either he's so preoccupied and fixated on the amount of people who show up to his inauguration, which to me is absurd. I don't, you know, obviously he won, you know, be it as it may, under whatever circumstances, he won. It doesn't matter if there's a million people or 20 people.
If that's the case, Obama won both times at the inauguration. He had bigger crowds.
Right, but that's the thing. It's like he's got to, like, compare himself to Obama and try to do so favorably, which he falls short almost all the time in doing so. But is it that he's so fixated on that, or is this one of those, like, magician's tricks where he's trying to make it seem like everybody is fixated and trying to get everybody to pay attention to that stuff while he basically hires all these crazy ass people to do all this fucked up
that
shit
was,
and with the Obamacare and everything else.
That one. I believe it's that one, the latter.
Yeah,
I think it's a bit
illusion.
Of both. I think it's
I don't know which scenario was worse, but yeah.
I think it's a worst case scenario where he is preoccupied with that and it has a, you know, the dual effect of, you know, having be able to do
right,
nefarious
taking the focus
shit
away from yeah exactly.
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
you know,
so like,
what?
It's like
the hardcore old Republican guard, they're of the mind that he's a closet Democrat, like he's saying all the right things and all of a sudden he's just gonna flip the script. And they're scared
I don't know,
of
man.
That too.
I don't
that's an alternate theory.
That's an alternate theory.
Not looking good so far.
What about the rest
man.
Of the world? You know, they're going to that alt right too, like they're kicking out
Europe and shit.
Europe and all that. Their elections are coming up, and their rhetoric is, you know, that of the same as Trump. You know, the whole anti-terrorist, you know, that whole alt-right scariness.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that leads me to back to his inauguration speech, where he's like talking about gangs and. In the cities and like how things are so horrible. I mean, like,
What are you talking about? You mean the gentrification in neighborhoods pushing out the.
That's what I'm looking out my window. I grew up in the Bronx. You know, that was true back then, you know, and your shit was crazy. But I can be on the subway with my iPhone and, you know, gingerly walking around. No one's going to snatch it and no one's going to start any shit. Like, you know, it's just not. I mean, is LA like still crazy with, you know, gangs and stuff? Because I don't see it. Maybe it's just, you know, removed a few thousand miles from me.
No, it's just getting pushed out, stomped out, incarceration. I mean, it's a whole other thing. It's just coded language because, you know, you arrest enough people, they can't vote anymore. Their rights are taken away. They can't have jobs and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So. I have a whole.
And why do you forfeit your citizenry if you commit a crime? It's really not the. It shouldn't be hand in hand there. You know what I mean?
No, I mean it's the system fights the symptoms, not the actual cause. If they affect the cause, I mean it is.
Certainly. And Mike said he watched.
Level.
He was watching the 13, the series on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's just like one. Documentary for a series, but
it's
they
a
go
movie.
Into it. And
it's just a movie.
It's just one movie. So apparently they go into it, and if you've seen it, you can get into a little more detail. And they go a little into how Clinton, you know, was a purveyor of that prison system, like almost doubling the population from
the
a million
strikes.
To 2 million. With
the three
strikes,
strikes
and minimum mandatory minimums and shit like that, and criminalizing. Non-violent offenses, like violent offenses, you know, when it comes to drugs.
Welfare
least,
to work.
Is, we have something like 25% of the world's population, prison population. We're as bad as, you know, like China, which is like a repressive dictatorship, you know. What is it about us that, you know, that we're so, you know, rule of law and have to, you know, why, you know, how are we so out of control compared to other civilized
nations? Because we hang on to our good old American tradition of paranoia.
Mm-hmm. That's the heart
you know
of it, and
I mean?
Fear. Yeah, what, you know, fear
yeah,
of life.
Everybody's afraid of what they don't know. Yeah, what they don't know, what they're not familiar with. They just fear the worst all the time. It's crazy. It's been different groups at various times, but it's the same fear, which, you know, the vast majority of the time is unfounded, and it's kind of silly.
And so, so do we invade, like, rural America with diversity? Like, you know, what's the kind of long term on that? Can we somehow expose these, you know, fucking hicks out there in middle of nowhere America?
I just don't think it's restricted to just the southern. Yeah, the mentality.
Right.
Sure, it's easy to poke holes
right.
in that. But what about middle America? You know what I mean? Lock your doors, lock your cars. You know, not my.
Yeah.
That.
Right.
You know,
right here in Jersey,
yeah.
I know quite a few Trump supporters that are, they got that fear in them. I don't know where the fear comes from. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's generational.
It's handed down,
and little nuggets slip through the cracks. You know, grandma.
Yeah.
You know,
true
grandma
that, true
says.
Yeah,
you know,
I think sadly it's one of those things. Yeah, it's, like you said, it's going to take time. It's going to take generations. We were discussing about this the other day about how, like, you know, a lot of people in my extended family voted for Trump, and or at least are okay with it. And the reason is because most of them were raised in that old school Italian, you know, kind of racist background, and, like, you know, some of us have gotten over that and realized what's what, and some of them haven't yet, and it's just going to take, you know, more education and more time, and it's
one of those
silly
things
that it
where
takes this long.
It's complicated because, you know, these are people who instill real true good values, you know, honesty and working hard and stuff, and it's convoluted with this mixed undertone of not in my house and, you know, those
right.
kind of, you know, avoid those kind of people because they're lazy, because, I mean, it goes back to even the first blockbuster, you know, movie with, you know what I'm talking about.
Birth of a Nation. Yeah,
and
true,
those
true.
Stereotypes, if you watch every single, it still holds true down the line. You know, they can't give a nigga a gun. You can't let them get drunk or get on drugs. They're going to steal your white women. They're going to rape and pillage. And, you know what I'm saying? They can't hold a job. They're not smart enough. You know, they're other people. They're not, you know, on a base level, it's like, say, hey, we're human beings. They're not a human being. They have to be treated with a set of circumstances and rules. And it's being played out. Like, you hear that same sentiment when people talk about Mexicans or the Spanish, you know.
You hear that same sentiment.
Yeah,
is
that
racist language? Animals.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're animals. And you know who they're talking about, you know, other than white people.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
You know,
yeah,
and all
like
these
I said,
animals.
It's,
you know,
it's usually a different group,
you,
but it's the same sentiment and the same crazy
backwards, you know, Asians and stuff, you know, they were considered unclean and ungodly, and, you know, they brought drugs. And,
no,
you
no,
know,
but
problems.
Those are, though. No, I'll consider those are. Come on.
I mean, it's just all down the line. It's because it's just separated, because it's just something you just don't know or is unfamiliar. And, you know, and it's like this, also there's undertones of, like, a country, like, nationalism, you know, this whole "these colors don't run" type shit, you know.
That's just fucking, that's the part, is to the root of it. You know, there's four cornerstones of a building, and that's like one of them, you know, like this fucking unwavering, you know, you can't, America can't do wrong, and by extension, anyone who's rah, 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 like Donald Trump cannot do any wrong, even though, you know, he's just so obviously had so many scandals that would have, you know, annihilated anyone else's campaign, but it's just,
I know. And
he's under that umbrella
me,
of patriotism.
Yeah, and that's what for me is, like, has aggravated me so much about these things, is all the people who are like, you know, oh, give him a chance, blah, blah, blah. We've known who he is for, like, 30 years. This isn't some guy who just came out of nowhere and showed up on the scene. Like, he's been an asshole and an abuser for so long. Why do I not want to give him a chance now? All of a sudden, he's going to change into a different, decent human being now that he's president? I mean, that's absurd.
No.
Absolutely. Being a New Yorker, he's been on my TV my entire life. And I always thought he was a low-class person, you know what I mean? And that's something else that fucking pisses me off, that the Trumps, you know, his family and his children are now like U.S. royalty, basically. And they're so fucking tacky, you know, to be elevated. To be like, they're like nouveau riche, you know, like not that I'm riche any kind of, but, you know, compared to like, you know, people who are longstanding, you know, millionaires and billionaires, they must be like, you know, throughout these people's lives must have snubbed their noses at the Trumps just because they're just so tacky looking, you know. And like, so there's got to be a certain sect that looks at them that way as well. Like, oh, you know, the Trumps are, you know, in power. Like, oh,
probably.
They are like that, but at the same time, their greed gets in the way of like, well, we got to deal with this motherfucker. You better like get your lip gloss on, you know, powder up, buttercup. We're going to kiss a lot of Trump ass.
That's crazy. That's got to be disheartening even for some ultra-rich people. Like, oh,
yeah,
man, it's Donald Trump's ass. That's tragic.
Like,
well,
even
if I remember correctly, didn't the Koch brothers, like, support Hillary Clinton? Like, I can't, you know, that they were funding a lot of Hillary Clinton, you know, like.
They were just so never Trump. They'd rather fund Hillary than put money towards Trump. And you already know that,
too.
A dangerous situation right there.
Yeah,
that's crazy. What the fuck? So I mean,
I feel like
but,
this,
even, but even if you're talking about the whole, like, you know, the other rich white people and stuff like that, it's just funny to me, you know, obviously not a surprise, but for all the, you know, Goldman Sachs is in Hillary's pocket and blah, 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 blah. And now he's already hired, like, what, four or five people from Goldman Sachs, to be honest?
Like, oh, what
did
you say in those speeches there? And
yeah,
it doesn't matter because...
So,
It's contradiction. It was one of those things that we knew, you know, just as the opposition, we knew whatever Trump was saying, he was not genuine. But he was saying the right things for the people that were on that other side, they just say, yeah, fuck yeah, this guy.
Fuck yeah.
And, you know, like, it's a problem because it affected the poor, it affected the dumb, and it's like we have more dumb and poor people in this country, you know what I mean, than smart, rich, intelligence. And it's indicative of the system fighting the symptoms, not the causes, you know what I mean? The whole, you know, no child left behind standards in education. I mean, we're like 37th, you know what I mean?
Right.
In education. But like, are we pour so much money into, like, fighting wars and we give a fuck? And people are expendable, you know what I mean?
No doubt. I mean, something like the Pentagon can't account for something like, you know, a couple of $1 trillion. You just can't account for it in the last, like, several years. Like, whoops, don't know where that money's going. Trillions of dollars that could ameliorate and fix a whole shitload of issues, you know, and
kind
of. Yeah, you know, this healthcare right there. There you go.
I really believe sincerely they know exactly where that money went. They just don't want to tell us.
Nah. There's another guy here. Who's this guy? 203-460.
Hello?
Hello, caller.
Hello.
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 Hello. Can I get a what?
Hello,
in the what? What?
In the butt.
Can I get a what in the butt?
What in the butt?
Welcome to the show.
So what are y'all talking about?
Trump.
You and how much we hate you.
Trump and I'm about to go sick of Trump.
Did you guys already go over the fact that that Mick has been on fire on Facebook lately?
No.
We're talking about football. What else are we talking about? No, Mick has been on fire. Like, Mick has been.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Mick has been the only one keeping shit together.
Mick is saying he's got a lot of family.
I wouldn't say that. I'd like to think you guys have more important things to do than be posting on Facebook all day. But yeah.
No,
seriously though, I even reposted something of yours. I was like, I'm just gonna let Mick write the all my.
No, Mick,
now.
You're holding it down for the both of us, dude.
It's frustrating too.
It is so frustrating, but you know, I'm apathetic at this point. You seem to have woken up. You're all woke now.
I'm proud of you. Like, keep it going.
And I've been like the caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, Chrissy went back to sleep. Chrissy went back to sleep, but Louie and I have just been kind of jerking each other off. But Mick, you're keeping it alive on Facebook.
Yeah,
in the face of your family.
Well, see, that's nice and woke, and the result will be that my wedding will be half as full as it we originally intended.
Wow.
Hey, listen. It's just block anybody who potentially could put you in their will. Don't let them see your posts, and then you're good. Otherwise, you know, piss them off.
Yeah.
Unexpected hero.
Mm-hmm. I know Mick is. I've always maintained that Mick is the most apathetic of all of us.
I've always
maintained that. You can't even deny that, Mick. Like, you usually
no,
are.
No, I can't. I usually am.
All right.
But right now, you're up. You're
rank
class.
The host from the most apathetic to the least out of us.
I know. He's holding it down. Mick, did you march in the Women's March yesterday?
Well, I did not. I'm working this weekend, so I couldn't really leave my house very long.
My daughter marched in the Martin Luther King Day parade.
Oh,
did she?
No, I was standing around doing nothing. Well, we didn't touch on that. How many millions of people across the globe marched yesterday? I barely knew that it was going on. So if you guys could fill me in, who all was out there yesterday?
Women, I guess, it was against Trump, I guess. They were marching against Trump.
Wendy Davis, Jennifer Lawrence, a whole bunch of
yeah,
people.
Well, the...
Oh, shit.
For women's rights, I guess if Trump has his way, you know, everybody's going to be able to get grabbed by the pussy from now on, so.
Right, basically.
I marched to the Shell station and got me a couple tall boys and I tried.
No.
I got me
I'm just wondering
tall
what
boys
the,
and some cigarettes.
What the final numbers are. Let me take a look while you guys converse.
Well, I'm looking at a couple different things. Trying to find, like, an actual total. Well, this thing from New York Magazine says that the march had three times more than the inauguration, which is not a surprise. But as far as total numbers, Mike, didn't your buddy Vincent post something with the actual numbers from, like, each?
Yeah, it's something – I don't know what the numbers from each of them are, but it's something like 4.8 million women worldwide.
Was that
march
many?
Right.
That's got to be the biggest march in the history, you know? Like,
well, I just don't understand where these people were during voting time. Where were they?
Well, that's the one thing that Trump brought up today that I actually kind of agree with. He's like, where were these people voting? And, yeah, if a lot of them had actually voted, I mean, obviously there's some people who are minors and stuff like that. But, yeah, if these people had gotten off their asses and voted, maybe we would be in this situation to begin with.
Nightmare.
I voted, and it didn't matter because in my district was overwhelmingly red. So
Jesus Christ. So we'll circle back on what the topic of the show was. We were talking about violence and how it takes away from it. What I wanted to mention was, and we'll get Mike's opinion on the violence. There's a guy out there, a political commentator, writer. He's been discredited for some political work. A guy named Ward Churchill. Mike knows him, but he has a book called "Pacifism as Pathology," where he, you know, proposes that, you know, being a pacifist can certainly work against you. You know, there are instances where, you know, you have to stand up and you have to meet brutality with brutality. You know,
hell
again,
yeah,
smashing
that's what
a
I
Starbucks
believe.
Starbucks window, smashing a Starbucks window. I don't really see where that's gonna kind of come into anything really, but you know. There are certainly scenarios where you gotta fight back. You know, you have to physically, you know, be in someone's face. And
I feel like the attention to certain causes isn't really there until there's violence. You know, like on a mass scale.
I could teach a master class in organized chaos.
Mm.
Well, you know.
Bitch, are you high right now?
Very.
That was the first thing.
I'm
high as hell.
I'm the highest giraffe pussy right now. Everything is wonderful. I told you I'll be here unless something bodily happens to me in 30 minutes.
Mm.
You never said anything about like...
Which is a possibility because you're the kind of bitch that has trees fall on you out of nowhere, so...
And that's my tailbone.
Yeah.
Hobos, don't forget the homeless.
And,
And I've been
minivans falling on you.
I've been trapped underneath things and locked in closets.
Yeah, I bet.
Trapping
the guy with knives, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently, which is another thing, like, I guess Trump is, well, see, the whole thing with Trump and his tax returns, like, I don't think the guy has tax returns. Like, I don't think he's ever
probably
paid fucking
not.
Taxes.
That wouldn't surprise me.
So there's a petition now to make him put his taxes out? I mean, I really don't.
You know what? Petitions. Speaking of nonviolent protests. Speaking of nonviolent protests, has a petition ever done anything? I mean, in all seriousness.
So petition against Trump is not going to work. Protests, let's see. And you know, will it be social disruption? Which is considered violence? Stopping streets and stopping transit and fucking up the system, that way, and, is that the next step?
No. Interrupting money is always the one that gets
that's
attention.
Right.
Yeah, no, true. I was actually
that actually brings up an interesting point that I was discussing with somebody the other day, because we were talking about how he was listening to the radio. It was Armand, actually, Mike. When I was listening to the radio the other day, he was listening to sports radio, and somebody had basically said he's not going to be a Jets fan anymore, and the reason is because Woody Johnson has been named the ambassador to England, to the UK. So he's not going to give the Jets any more money because that is, on some level, giving Trump money. Now, do you think it's something that is that tangible, or do you think it's just simply, boycott Trump type items? Like, how far do you think we need to reach as far
well,
as
Trump doesn't have Trump doesn't have anything that any of us use. Like, Trump doesn't Trump the only thing Trump has ever sold that Americans have actually bought is himself, is his countenance,
yes,
and his stupid fucking TV shows and shit.
Right. Trump steaks, he had the casinos. He had the college, Trump University, and books.
All of which were failures.
Right.
Right, of course.
Straight up.
All of which are failures, man.
Right before the inauguration, right before the election, I think it was, right before the election, he just settled the Trump University lawsuit for like $25 million.
Yeah, $25 million, right.
Yeah.
And one of the senators, Elizabeth Warren, was giving the woman that's been nominated for, in charge of education. She was giving her crap, saying, are you going to protect Americans from fraud like the Trump University?
Like Trump University.
Yeah.
Basically, she did. And she was like, well, we're going to look into that. And she's like, so you're not saying that? Like, it's the non-answer.
Again, all of these Senate hearings, though, like, this is why I'm so apathetic. All of these Senate hearings, what's the end result? Like, what actually happens? Like, all of
I think in this
all
case,
of these,
hopefully the end result is this particular woman does not get the nod for Secretary of Education. Now, beyond that, who knows? I don't think there's going to be much change.
Maybe one of the lot.
But do they have the power to block those appointees? Does the Senate have the power?
I know they delayed the next set of interviews, whatever you want to call them, because they're reviewing all of this backlash. So who knows if that's going to actually come to anything worthwhile, but we'll see, I guess.
He's going to get his way.
I just feel like dismantling
of America. It's going to be a revamp. It's going to be like something we've never seen before or encountered before.
And that's where I am, and that's what I believe. I believe we're fucked. We're stuck right now. There's little to nothing that anyone can actually do to affect any kind of change. His appointees are all going to go through because it's a Republican-controlled House.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly. You have all these great little sound bites of these Democratic senators asking some really hard questions and stuff. But in the end, are they going to be able to block these appointees? I don't think so.
It's fucking hopeless, man.
Probably not. From what I read, there were like 5 Republican senators who were against the repeal, but again, that wasn't enough to shift the process.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we'd like to think that 5 on this issue turns into 8 on another issue, turns into 10 on another issue, but I mean, honestly, at this point,
wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, I mean,
I was reading that earlier, posted the article on Eisenhower and how he was really excited to be a Republican president with Republican Congress and Senate and all that, and he found it to be counterproductive. You know, it turned out that Lyndon Johnson, who was a Democrat, was his biggest ally, and they were able to actually work together. Is that going to happen here?
Hell no.
I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not. Because, yeah, who would be the ally
different
at this
times.
Point? I don't think it would be anybody that we'd be happy about.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate what you're doing, Mick, because like I said, I've become extremely apathetic. Like I love the shit you're posting on Facebook. I don't have the energy to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you.
Keep it up, it's so frustrating.
But yeah, I mean, you know, at my own peril.
We'll just repost your stuff.
Yeah. No, I know. I see your family giving you shit, and I'm always like, yeah, man, give it to him back. Fuck those errats. Fuck the errats.
Did any of us have happy childhoods? Raise your hand.
No. No.
Mick had happy childhood because I was always giving him handies in the back.
Yeah.
You're a good friend.
I always enjoyed those.
Good friends.
No, I don't think. Mick, would you say you had a particularly rough childhood?
I don't think it was rough. I mean, we never, you know, starved or slept outside or anything like that. But we also never had anything
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, well, as far as it's weird, as far as the love and affection part, that part I really don't have any issue with, other than the fact that my father wasn't around because he worked nights, but you know, my mother always took good care of us and stuff like that. We just never really had much, so it was, you know, it had its good points and its bad points, and you know, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
How many are there? Are you 5 of you?
I have 2 brothers and a sister.
Louis spent his childhood in a Christian cult, so his wasn't particularly happy.
That's fascinating.
Pentecostal church. Pentecostal.
Oh, really?
I was a born again preacher at 15 years old.
And we know Christy left home at the age of 5 and was on her own since then. So
no.
I made my confirmation at like 13 or 14, and then I probably didn't go back to church again for like I don't even know how long. So that wasn't really
my career.
Yeah, but you're going to church now, ain't you? Because your
not
girlfriend
anymore.
Likes to go to church.
Yeah, but not anymore.
Your fiance.
She didn't like the one we were going to, so we haven't gone in a while. We haven't gone like probably the whole year.
Jesus.
Well, yeah, we're
her generation. We don't attend church. Not anymore.
If I go into a church, I physically, and Mike can attest to this, physically get sick.
Louis gets physically ill when he goes into a church.
I used to send my kids to church. Now they have no desire to go.
Louis, that's because you have demons, man, remember?
They're half. Remember, they're half demons, remember? My husband's wife.
Yeah. I don't think they're full on demons, but when I was younger, my an aunt of mine, an auntie, told me I had demons. I needed to address those.
Oh God!
Really?
Which I thought, all right, yeah, I mean, fair enough. You know, we all have our demons. But my cousin,
How do you treat demons? Is that like treating life?
Yeah, I know, something like that. You get a bunch of people.
I think it's the same process.
Probe you.
Yeah, you just get a bunch of shampoo and
It's an exorcism, basically.
Was there anything that you did that gave her cause to think that you had demons?
No.
Like, were you out around,
See, the most fucked up thing about that is that the worst part about all that is that his cousin, she said his cousin didn't have demons, and Lou's cousin was like a drug addict, basically, and fucking
drug dealer.
Drug dealer, drug addict.
Yeah.
Like, the kid was addicted to meth at one point.
He was defrauding the FedEx. Yeah, like some system. Him and his buddies, like a systematic way of finding out tracking numbers and cutting, you know, getting packages before. Fueling their drug buying and selling and using. Yet I, who was just bopping around directionless. Was infested with.
Well, anyway, guys, I'm gonna go. It was good talking to you. I appreciate you.
Listen, as
appreciate
always,
all of you.
Stay cool.
It's only like they only got 5 minutes left, and I'm cold.
Yeah, aww. You're good.
Love you, homie.
Get out.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Peace out to Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I got demons apparently. What are we talking about? I brought that up for a reason.
We're talking about how our childhood upbringings and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Christy, you had demons?
No, I didn't have demons. I did go to church as a child.
Church is what we're talking about.
My sister was one of those that, like, as a child, like, saw visions and stuff. And she was like,
really? Interesting.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. That I like. That's crazy. Which did she see in her dreams? Like big hunky men, and she just had to dress up as Jesus.
A disembodied hand reaching out and trying to clutch at her heart.
Wow.
Oh.
praying away the possessions.
Why is this always so morbid, these visions?
I mean, dreams of people being persecuted, and she can't do anything about it. Fire and brimstone.
Christ. That's sad.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
When I was a kid, I had a terrible dream that the devil was in my bedroom. It was like that stereotypical devil, you know, like that dastardly red with horns and tail.
Right.
And he was just, you know, there calling my name at my bedroom door.
Apparently, there's a scientific explanation for you and my sister's night terrors, and that's exactly what they were—just night terrors. Your subconscious tormenting you over.
Well, now
you
think they'll? Do you think the kids today are going to have that same dream that Louis had, except it's going to be Trump standing over their bed?
I mean, it's going to be different variations of it. I mean, I don't know.
One day it's going to be Trump, Michael Pence, a lot of people.
Know.
Bannon.
So
yeah.
Scientifically, you guys are okay. No, you weren't touched by demons or Jesus or anything, or you had such visions. Just had overactive imaginations. You guys just needed to chill the fuck out. Drink some more water.
Drink more water before going to bed.
Exercise a little bit. Go to,
Blow off some of that steam. Yeah.